Domino Lanciolini here on a Tuesday morning, of course. Wilder and Fury 3 looks like it's going to happen. A guy who's been around boxing forever joins us right now on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line, Teddy Atlas from ESPN. Teddy, as always, we appreciate the time.
You're welcome, guys.
How surprised were you by what you saw this past Saturday?
Yeah, I was a little surprised with the domination. And listen, full disclosure, we want to always be honest. I picked Wilder to win. But once it started transpiring, once it started happening in front of me, I understood what was happening, obviously. And one thing that I was right about, I could be honest when I'm wrong, I could also take a tiny bit of credit when I'm right. When he was saying, when he being Fury was saying that he's going to go after him, he's going to knock him out in two rounds, he's going to track him down, all that stuff. Everybody said that it was just banter, it was promotional banter, you know, it was bravado, it was all that crap. And I remember getting into a little argument with my buddy, my brother, Stephen A., when he said, oh, that's all crap. And Stephen A.'s right most of the time. But I said, no. This time the guy's telling the truth. Yeah, the fighters in these promotional situations, yeah, they lie to sell seats. I get it. But he's not lying this time. I believe that he's actually going to go about his business in a more aggressive way. And one of the things that, for me, cemented that fact was when he came in at 273, because he was rolling out the window. He was kind of putting himself in a situation where he had to do that, where he forced him. And we do that as human beings. So I remember a fighter one time, this is going to sound funny, but he had a tattoo of Golden Gloves around his neck. Who does that? But when he did it, he had to be a successful fighter. Otherwise, he looked like a freaking idiot. People say, where do you get those Golden Gloves of tattooed around your neck, on your chest, if you're not a champion? But he had to be a champion. And so when he was 273, he had to back up his word. He had to be aggressive. He had to do that. And so what it meant was, for me, was he was throwing his greatest physical attributes out the window, which is he's got agility, he's mobile, he's got good legs, he could be on Dancing with the Stars, he's got good head movement, you know, he's a good defensive fighter. That's what put him in this fight. Yeah, he got caught twice, but he boxed magnificently against a tremendous puncher, the best puncher in boxing. And at the end of the day, coming in 273, he was thrown overboard. He was saying, I'm taking my greatest physical assets and I'm not going to use them. It was like taking air out of the tires of a car. It's like you put more weight in the car and the tires, they deflate a little bit. Well, that car's not going on a racetrack now. Now that car has got to be able to just plod forward.
Hey, Teddy, your world, though,
it's the same thing.
You know the training world. When he changed trainers, I think that might have been a sign that the mindset could have been really different. This might not have just been
tough. No, I disagree. I agree, and I disagree. I agree that he switched trainers with a real boxing trainer. He hadn't really had one. He had life coaches. Yeah, and I'm not knocking on. I'm just, you know, if we're going to talk, we should talk facts. And he got a real boxing trainer, and a guy that was the nephew of the late, great Emmanuel Stewart from the Kronk. And Emmanuel's philosophy was to be aggressive. So, yeah, you're right. So that kind of fit in there with the MO of that, where that trainer comes from. But he had already put the weight on. He had already started to bulk up. So he had already started to implement this plan. And also, I think he had a dress rehearsal. Yeah, I do. I think he had a dress rehearsal for this fight. His fight before this against Wallen, the fighter from Sweden, the southpaw, who turned out to be more durable than people thought he was going to be, he got a bad cut in that fight, real bad. And he had been boxing up to that point. He was the same Fury. He wasn't coming forward. He was boxing. And then he got cut. He got desperate. And all of a sudden, he started coming forward. He started grinding it out. He started becoming Joe Frazier, and he ain't Joe Frazier, but he did. And he came forward and he grinded out an ugly win, a tough win, a hard-earned win. And I think right there, I think a switch went on, to your point, with the trainer. I think a switch went on right there. I think he said to himself, hey, this is what I got to do. Almost like a sign. You got to remember, this is a guy who went through drug addiction. He went through depression, suicidal thoughts. He overcame all that. You almost get a religious sort of connotation, a religious sort of tone to you, where you start to believe in things and you start to say, hey, this cut came for a reason. I was forced to be aggressive. I don't want to go crazy on you out there, but I'm telling you, I'm in this business all my life, and I understand 75% of it's mental. And a fighter grabs onto something. It's like being in the ocean. You know, you grab onto a driftwood. There's a piece of driftwood, you're going to grab it. And I think a part of him said, you know what? This is meant to be. I'm supposed to be aggressive in my next fight. And I think it's connected to that.
Teddy Atlas with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. You said it. You've been around this business your entire life. What do you make of the reasoning that Deontay Wilder had? His legs were gone because of the heavy costume.
Oh, please. I can't even let you finish. Please. Please. Stop. I mean, you want to make excuses? Go ahead. We've both done it. You've been there. Your partner's been there. I've been there. Okay? But that doesn't mean we're going to believe
it. So tell everybody the truth. It's the bully factor. What happened to the bully?
That's what it was. You know, suit aside. 45. I can't help it. 45 pounds suit aside, okay? I hope, and I heard it cost $50,000. I hope it was refundable. But that put aside, he bullied the bully. That's right. There was a physical and a mental component going on here. First of all, when you fight a puncher like he did the first time, there's two ways to deal with a puncher. First off, you got to understand, guy's a puncher, needs to be set to punch, right? Right. Okay, so you keep him from being set. So you go the traditional way. You box all over the place. You keep him off balance if you're capable of doing that. He did. And you keep him off balance where he can't detonate that bomb. But he still got caught twice. But he boxed magnificently. He got a draw. A lot of people thought he should have won. Now, the other way you can deal with a puncher and you could defuse him, again, same thing, keep him from being set, but do it by being aggressive. Put him on his back foot, keep him backing up, and do that. So he understood that. So there was an understanding. There was a cerebral understanding that this makes sense from a technical, physical standpoint. But there was another thing. He was a genius. I'm going to give him credit, Fury. Yeah, he's a nut job and he's crazy, but you get a kick out of him. Kind of like Conor McGregor in the UFC. He's a great promoter. He's a genius. He understood this guy was a bully because punches are inherently a bully. They're given this great, great gift, but it's a curse at the same time. Because you have this great gift that just gets rid of people. It gets rid of problems. It's just you have a problem? No, you don't. You hit
Teddy,
him, he's gone.
Do you throw in the towel there if you're Mark Breland?
Yes. Mark Breland is a hero. And just to finish my point, and I know there's a time thing here, but just to finish my point is that he understood that he wasn't just going to beat him physically, that if he confronted the bully and didn't let the bully get his way, where he usually gets his way, he would deteriorate him mentally. And you saw it. You saw it in his body. Yeah, you saw him hurt from the third round knockdown with the equilibrium behind the air. But you also saw, if you know what you're watching, you saw him disintegrating mentally.
And did
you
Breland,
saw it. Now, Breland, Breland.
Did he maybe
he's
save
a hero.
Him physically and mentally? Because if that goes on, mentally he gets beat up so bad, physically he gets beat up bad. I know Breland
did it
probably.
They're going to fire Breland. It's a shame. Or at least they're talking about
right.
Maybe with all this talk, maybe we're going to embarrass them. But Breland's a hero. Forget about what you're saying. You're right. But he might have saved his life. He had just done the best technical move of the night. He had just taken a little step back because Fury was sloppy too. It wasn't the greatest fight in the world, but there was drama. There was drama. That's why we enjoyed it. Will the guy come back and land the TNT bomb? Will the other guy pull off the upset? And when he stepped back, then he stepped back in with that straight right hand. Bang! He caught him clean. He hurt him. He was gone. Physically and he was gone mentally. And the onslaught was about to start. And he was going to get hit with a lot of punches. And Mark Breland saved that from happening.
And I'll also tell you this, Teddy. He might have saved the business of the third fight, because if he would have gotten his ass kicked the way he could have, it certainly everybody would have screamed, let's try it again. I think the idea that he's mad at his corner is the angle that they're going to push.
Yeah, they are. Everyone looks for an angle. Everyone looks for a way out. You know, I give him credit. He's a fighter. He got in the ring. He shows heart. I'm not taking that away from you haters out there, and you know who you are. There's a million of them out there. It's too bad, but it's the way the world works. They're saying, oh, I like Rivera. How can you say that? No, I'm saying what can be said because it's the truth. I give him all the credit. He behaved like a fighter, gutsy. But now everyone looks for an excuse. Everybody, you know, part of it is the business part, like you just said, which is right, that you can have a reason. You can justify the rematch. But everyone needs an excuse and say, oh, you know, I still have the power and, you know, never should have stopped it and all that stuff. No, you didn't have the power no more. You know why? Because the power, even though it's in the right hand, the legs have to be under you to be able to generate that power, to be able to deliver that power. Your legs were gone, buddy.
Your legs were gone.
So, no, you didn't have a punch of chance anymore.
Real quick, Teddy, before we let you go, Teddy Atlas with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker Line. What do you see happening should a third match happen in this heavyweight circle?
Oh, it depends on Fury. I don't know if it depends on Wilder as much. I mean, he's going to be what he's going to be. Is he going to learn how to fight? News memo for everyone. They want to be mad at Mark Breland for throwing the towel. They should be mad at themselves for not teaching this guy how to fight. He don't know how to fight. He always has that eraser. It always pulled him out of the fire with all these mistakes, but it didn't pull him out of the fire. So I think that if Fury is right, if the money and fame and everything else doesn't distort him,
right,
which it could, then he wins again. But I'm not so sure that you're not going to see the Joshua fight first, because that's a bigger fight.
Well, they could
that's
certainly
a bigger
do,
fight
they could
if
do,
it's a bond.
They could do 90,000 in Wembley. Teddy, we got to go real quick. Let's just finish up with one last thing. The idea of between the sixth and seventh round, I noticed that he did not look at his trainer once, which will tell me that nobody had any answers. Nobody was looking for an answer. Nobody was looking to try to fix what was wrong. I swear to you, before that seventh round stoppage, he didn't look in his eyes once. There was no instruction. There was no want for instruction. It's just what you said. I got a big right hand, and quite honestly, I don't even have that in my back pocket now. I knew it was over then. When you're not looking to actually get better in the middle of a fight or figure something out, you're beaten.
You got a problem.
Yeah.
No, you're supposed to be. I laugh at the commentators. I got to tell you, I'm not knocking anybody. But I got to say, again, the truth is the truth. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it full out, the way that I believe, with my judgment. And one of the commentators said, oh, his legs are too wide. That's why he has no balance. Well, wait a minute, but his legs have been too wide for freaking 10 years. Yeah. For whatever amount of time he's been around, they've always been too wide. That has to be corrected in the gym, not the night of the fight, not
right
in the corner, not in the locker room.
All right. Well, listen, Teddy, we always look forward to catching up. We will do it again at some point before this or the Joshua fight gets underway.
All right. No
I appreciate
problem.
You being a man of your word as well for getting back to me this morning, Teddy.
Well, it's important to keep your word.
All right. Thank you, Teddy. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Take care.
Okay.